Good morning, my friends. Welcome to the podcast. Continuing in chapter one. Melanie, I think you need to close your microphone. Continuing in chapter one, it just gets better and better and better. So welcome, my friends, to the podcast, The Millionaire of the Diamonds. And for those joining us for the very first time, the objective of this podcast is simply to level up, work every day on being a better version of ourselves. And you know what? Today, I realize it's being a better leader, because we're all leading somebody. You're a stay-at-home mom. Well, you're the leader of your family. You do volunteer work at a church, or like you, Melanie, you were volunteering with figure skating. Like, we're always leading somewhere, because people might listen to the podcast today and say, well, I'm not a leader. We all are. We're all a leader somewhere. So it definitely, this podcast speaks to everyone out there. Now, we don't come to you and say, this is what I think. What we do is we take a book that's well known, and we take it apart chapter by chapter. Oh my God, sometimes one chapter takes us like months before we complete it. But we bring the beauty of the experience of Melanie Miller. Like this morning, before we came on the podcast, it was that final realization that modesty and humility is the same thing. One is inside and one is outside. Now, I know a lot of us, you're saying, oh yeah, well, that's true. But to be conscious of it is something else. So even me, after all these years, I'm going, oh yeah, that makes sense. So there's always something. So yes, humility, modesty, but it has to be attached with unwavering resolve. Okay, to bring to the next level. So this is a speech I had with my sister just this week. If she's listening, actually, we should have done the sharing first. But anyways, it's going to come there. And I was sharing with her that she has to have the oomph behind the kids. Like, you know, Daniel says he wants to go to soccer. Okay, so register in soccer, take him by the ears and bring him to soccer every morning. You know, you need the parent with the unwavering resolve so that they follow up and follow through. Of course, there's an expiration date for that, right? But in the meantime, you give them that platform that they need to understand what unwavering resolve looks like, you know? A little bit like the tree starts growing, I need to be its tutor. You could straighten it later on, but it's so much harder. So this is why I'm really driven by this podcast for everybody out there. Just to be a better version of yourself just brings the whole world to level up. But first, let's go on and share, Marie-Pierre, over to you, the contest, because it's really, really exciting. Did we decide what the top five are going to get? I'll let her talk.
Okay, so I will choose them. So yes, again, I want to say congratulations to our top five who contribute the most during the month of March: Joanne Corbeil, Louise Gauthier, Danny Chartrand, Lise Boucher, and Kendra Sittingasol, who got the notebook Les Mignolans des Diamants. And I think for the next month, we'll have the new one that is coming. Woohoo! The notebook. And for everyone who share the podcast, you will be in the draw for the accessory bag that we have at Les Mignolans des Diamants on our Shopify. So for everyone who share in during the month of April, and for everyone who joined the group, and for everyone who invite someone new to the group, we'll have another draw for the accessory bag. And then for everyone who share, Maria is really happy because she just got the new one, the vest, I would say, and it's red. So if you are on Facebook, you will see it in a few seconds. We really love it. Yeah. Okay. So Maria, they don't see you for now. Okay. So when you talk, they will see you. Okay. So for everyone, when you receive your book, Les Mignolans des Diamants, or your agenda, take a picture and post it on your social media. Tag Maria Mariano, tag Les Mignolans des Diamants, and you will be in the draw for the accessory bag. And then for everyone, when you place your order on Les Millionnaires Boutique, you will, when you take a picture of your order, when you receive your order, take a picture and post it to be in the draw for the accessory bag. Now you can show Show off.
I put on the new vest, the millionaire. It's nice, eh, Melanie? Isn't it lovely? And behind it says, lead, don't follow. So every one of our, what do we call this? Memorabilia? I don't know what we call it. No. Anyways, whatever. Has a positive sentence that, you know, we said somewhere along the lines, we read in a book, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so let's dive in. Again, thank you for everybody on Zoom with me. Thank you for everyone on Podbean. I just saw my sister got there. Thank you, Liz, for welcoming them and Matthew. And, you know, what an incredible community on Facebook. Marie-France Toupin keeps doing her 1 minute inspirational. Jacqueline Stockley welcoming everyone. Like, this great community comes together, and together we go from good to great. Okay, good to great leaders are remarkable individuals. They don't dwell in their own light. I'm so good. I'm so this. I'm so that. But rather, you know, I would even say they're people of few words. But when they say something, oh la 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 la, does it have weight? You know what, Melanie? Marie-Pierre, it comes back to what Simon Sinek said. Be the last to speak in a room. Huh? You know, be the last to speak. So there we go. So rather, what they do, good to great leaders, they illuminate and they encourage the contribution of everybody on their team, in their family. Like, remember, this is not a podcast just for people in multi-level marketing or business. Because even as a mother, even as a dad, even as an aunt, like, I don't know what roles you're playing. You know, we need to elevate, illuminate everybody in the room so we can collectively be successful. Their humility of great leaders, their humility and modesty stands out. Shy, maybe you might say reserved, yet they are impactful. Do not underestimate their quiet person they are, because they have this grit about them that you get to see when they start a project and they just don't give it up. And I was thinking about myself a lot, Melanie and Marie-Pierre. And for those of you that have seen me outside the context of Tupperware, I'm very, you know, at the end of the day, I don't talk. I think Marie-Pierre has seen me a lot in other contexts. I'm a great watcher of people. And I realize it's thanks to Tupperware that brought out in me a little bit more of, whoa, you know. But if I go back, I really am a person of action. I like to work. I like to move. I like to do things. When people talk too much, for those that were part of my ABCD teams, you know how angry I would get sometimes when there was too much talking going on. You know, we got to get the job done. Anyways, it brought me to think of a lot of things today. So these leaders possess a ferocious resolve, a steadfast determination to do whatever it takes to elevate their company, their family, their children, their community to greatness. And, you know, because I don't want to keep it to business people making their companies from good to great. You need exactly the same type of leadership and resolve when it comes to making your family successful. Now, Melanie, you've been like me, right? We've been through a lot of things with our children, each one in own respective. But our resolve for them to be successful in their way and let their light shine. This is what has made parents like me and Melanie get over every hump we've been through and be the great parents we needed to be to tell them they were enough. You see, so as I was getting this podcast ready this morning, I really want to speak to everybody out there, not just to, are you a CEO of Chrysler or what? No. With absolute unwavering commitment, they are the embodiment of the plow horse. Now, Melanie, I know you're going to cover it better, but for me, the plow horse coming from Italy, having seen how these horses work, like for me, really represented something. Wow. Okay. So the plow horse, it works efficiently, diligently, minute after minute, always, always, always producing extraordinary results. And at the end of the day, that is what it's about. So parents, you put your kid in a sport. Remember, you gotta be that great leader. You know, like I said to my son, you know, almost hanging from the door, no, I don't want to go swimming. No. I said, listen, listen, kid, you wanted swimming. And every morning I got up and I made sure they went and trained. So when people said, oh, your kids are so good, Maria, hey, Melanie, your kids are so, no. It's not the kids that were good. They had a mom that was committed, that if they said they wanted to do this and I registered them over my dead body, every morning they went. I even remember once Nadia, I got to tell you a quick story. Nadia had one of her wisdom teeth pull out and I brought her swimming. But the dentist had said, no, now don't tell me I'm a bad mom. It's just our mentality, right? He says, no excessive exercise, right? Because it could start bleeding. Well, I didn't listen, of course, and I make her go swimming. So after the training, she was having blood coming out of her mouth. Hey, guys, she's alive and she's well, okay? But just to tell you, you know, you can you hear my dog? That's Gucci. That's Gucci. He's going in to see the doctor again this morning. Anyway, so what I want to tell you is that from you, the leader, you, the mom, you, the dad, you, the CEO, you know, whatever, you have to be that person who quietly guides its people to the self-realization that they are enough and they have what it takes within them. For me, people like Amy Schmaltz represents a great leader. People like Luciano Garcia, by the way, he's the one who introduced to me the book the first time, From Good to Great. Very reserved people, but yet a presence, an incredible presence. Glenn Drake, I remember him when I went to Hall, and he says to me, you know, Maria, I expect greatness out of you. And within 18 months, we became number one again. He's the one who understood when Mohammed got his bone marrow transplant, and he gave me, like what we say, 1 year full bonuses. I can't even explain to you. But then he calls me up, Melanie. Okay, Marie-Pierre, and he said, it's enough. Now you got to get to work. You know, people like that. And what about Greg Fagan? What about Greg Fagan? You know, you looked at him and you said, well, he's not, of course he was a leader. He just pushed us, but so quietly, like so quietly. He had a phenomenal way of making us feel special. So think, do you have such leaders in your life? Those whose qualities you aspire to be like? Those who inspire you to become a better version of yourself? If not, welcome to the podcast, The Millionaire of the Diamonds, right? Because this is a platform for that. So this morning, let's set a goal to not only admire those qualities that great leaders embody, but to understand that we have the power to do the same. And golly gee, it's fun. It's so much fun to go to bed at night, you know, fully satisfied with the extraordinary day that we lifted up so many people. But remember, I can't lift up you, Melanie Miller, if I don't lift up my husband, Mohammed. You can't do it for strangers and then not do it. You can't do it for strangers and then not do it for your family. So this is what I want to bring with you with this book as we dive deeper and deeper into it. It's really all about making this world a better world, better parents, better sports coach, better CEOs, better everything. We are in a strong need of great leaders right now. So with no further ado, I'll leave you in the hands of Melanie and Marie-Pierre, who will give you the words to take down notes and truly convert it into working on being a better version of herself. So over to you, Melanie Miller.
Thank you, Maria, and good morning. And just before I get started on my section, as Maria was talking, I'm thinking not only as parents do we guide our children and encourage them to do things, but we watch them become leaders. And as Maria was describing how she used to get really angry with us, certain times. I was listening to my daughter Susie last night, who is the owner of a business. She's 30 weeks pregnant. She's exhausted. And she was telling me about a problem she was having with one of her employees. But she's still at the angry stage, right? And she's learning. And as well as being able to guide our children to grow up, we also have to guide them to become good leaders. And I love that about being a parent. So in our book, we're talking about humility and resolution of having a great resolve. And I'm going to touch on that a bit more. But good to great leaders don't talk about themselves. They downplay their talents. They do not use I statements. They will focus their comments on the company and other executives who are achieving great things. If they're pushed to make a self-comment, they're more likely to say, oh, I hope I'm not sounding like a big shot. Or there are plenty of other people in my company who could do a better job than I do. They have a modesty. And this was not and is not a false modesty. People at level 5 are often referred to as quiet, humble, modest, reserved, gracious, mild-mannered, understated, all the things that we don't necessarily associate with leaders, because the leaders that shout the loudest, they do all those things differently, but they're not the great leaders. For the 11 companies that were studied in the good to great companies in this book, there are 11 only out of the Fortune 500 at the time. And all those 11 had leaders who were exactly as I described. They were just ordinary people producing extraordinary results. And they did not want any focus or fuss on themselves. Not so the leaders of companies in comparison. And the Chrysler company was saved from the brink of disaster by a man called Lee Iacocca. He joined them in 1979, and he made a dramatic turnaround to the business by 1982. But then he decided he wanted to become a celebrity. He went on TV talk shows. He starred in 80 commercials. He was quoted to state that he could run the country better than anyone else. He wrote an autobiography which sold millions. He became somewhat of a rock star. And that's because he thought he was great. He had no modesty. He was so full of his own importance, he wouldn't leave the company. So they had to stumble along with him as this self-centered, unmodest, big leader until 1992. And when he left, he insisted that they gave him a jet airplane and that he had big stock options. And his parting present to them was to, a couple of years later, be part of a hostile takeover of the company of Chrysler. What a leader. And finally, the company was taken over a few years later. They did recover a bit when Iacocca left, but the damage he had done meant that they really had to sell the company to Daimler-Benz in 1998. He was not solely responsible for their decline, but he really set up a lot of problems for them. So modesty is something that we would expect to see in a great leader. And unwavering resolve, doing what must be done, is another quality. Level 5 leaders are not just humble. They have an amazing capacity to keep going. They're infected with an incurable desire for results. They are constantly searching for a way to improve, to make the company great. They cannot stand mediocrity and will not accept that good is good enough. So in many companies that still exist and existed in the past, the members of the board were made up often of family members. Nepotism, the act of giving preference to family members, irrespective of their competence, was rife and still is rife in industry. So what that means is that often people were at the head of companies who really had no reason to be there. They didn't have the qualities and the skills that were needed for their job. And this was the case at Abbott Pharmaceuticals. Abbott Pharmaceuticals were responsible for bringing to the market erythromycin, which is an antibiotic which is still used worldwide today. And they were just cruising along on the success of erythromycin, but were not advancing and were not growing. And one of their, George Kane, one of the family members, became the CEO, and he gradually removed any incompetent family member and replaced them for competent people on the board. And Abbott had a complete turnaround of their business and stayed in success for many years. By contrast, another company, Upjohn, who were similar size, had the same family problems, did not take that action, left family people in place, and were taken over by another company fairly soon after their demise. So what is interesting is the companies who we've talked about, Gillette and Kimberly-Clark and Abbott, they all had promotions of people from inside their business. They did not bring in a knight in shining armor to save the company. They looked to the internal people in the company, and it was them who ended up saving the company. All of these were internal appointments. But one of the best leaders I know with stoic resolve is our leader, Maria. She is relentless in her desire to improve, to move forward towards greatness. She is looking to learn from the best, both internally and externally, of our company, and her resolve never wavers. She has no problem changing direction if she believes that the direction the company is moving in is not sustainable or replicable. And she is dogged about achieving greatness. Alan Wurzel, who was a second-generation family member who took over his family's small business and turned it into Circuit City, one day likened the actions of level 5 leaders and level 4 leaders, referring to them by horses. And what he said was that a level 4 leader, that he's like a show pony, and a level 5 leader is like a plow horse that works slow and steady and never gives up, and a show horse who's good one day and bad the next. And so for me, I know that I'm glad that Maria is a plow horse. So now I'm going to pass you over to Marie-Pierre, who's going to tell us a little bit more about modesty.
Thank you, Melanie. So yes, when we talk about the being the best version of ourselves, to have the possibility to reach that level 5 leadership, yes, there's modesty and resolve. So that unwavering resolve is the combination of determination and perseverance when we talk about our goals, our and challenges in our lives. So I have a quiz this morning for you, to learn more about how you navigate when you face obstacles, you have setbacks, when you have new opportunities. So just to have a better idea on how you can work to develop this quality to have the possibility to reach that level 5 leadership. So let's start. We have 10 questions that you can answer A, B, C, or D for each. Of course, you have to answer only one for each question. So let's start with number 1. So when faced with a difficult task at work, how do you react? A, I tackle it head on, confident that I will find a solution. B, I approach it consciously, planning my step carefully. C, I feel hesitant and consider asking for help immediately. Or D, I might procrastinate, feeling unsure about my capability. Question number two. If you fail to achieve a goal, what's your immediate response? A, analyze what went wrong and how I can improve. B, feel disappointed but remind myself that it's a learning opportunity. C, question my abilities and the feasibility of the goal. Or D, consider giving up or significantly lowering my expectation. Question number three. How do you handle criticism or negative feedback? A, I see it as a constructive and use it to grow. B, it stings a bit, but I try to extract useful insight from it. C, I often take it personally and might dwell on it. Or D, I sometimes dismiss it if I don't agree with the source. Question number four. When learning a new skill, how do you approach the process? A, with enthusiasm, embracing the challenge. B, steadily, dedicating regular time and effort to practice. C, with some trepidation and worried about the difficulty. Or D, I might start strong but lose interest if progress is slow. Question number five. If a project requires more work than initially anticipated, what do you do? A, double my effort, committed to seeing it through. B, reassess the timeline and resources, adjusting plans as needed. C, feel overwhelmed, possibly needing a break to reassess. Or D, consider scaling back the project or the objective. Question number six. When a team member struggles with their part in a project, how do you respond? A, offer help and support, ensuring that the project will stay on track. B, encourage them to find a solution, providing guidance. C, worry about the project outcome and the extra workload. Or D, think about reassessing their task to more capable team members. Question number seven. How do you view long-term goals or projects with distant payoff? A, as exciting opportunities to invest in the future. B, with a practical mindset, breaking them down into manageable steps. C, they can feel daunting but making me question my worth. Or D, I might lose interest over time if results aren't immediately visible. Question number eight, when your principle or value are challenged, how do you stand your ground? A, firmly and confidently defending my stance. B, by engaging in dialogue, trying to find common ground. C, I might waver if faced with strong opposition. Or D, I avoid confrontation, even if it means compromising. Question number nine. In the face of unexpected obstacle, how do you adapt? A, I quickly devise alternative strategy. B, I take a moment to assess before deciding on the next step. C, I might feel stuck and need time to regroup. Or D, I consider whether the goal is still worth pursuing. And last question, number 10, how do you maintain motivation for ongoing tasks or routine? A, by focusing on the end goal and the satisfaction of completion. B, I set smaller milestones to celebrate along the way. C, it can be challenging and I sometimes need the external motivation. Or D, I struggle with monotony and often seek for a new stimuli. So now you can calculate how many A's, how many B's, how many C's did you get? So to really understand what is your dynamic of your result. So if you have mostly A, you possess a strong result, approaching challenge with confidence and determination. So ensure that your drive is balanced with self-care to avoid that burnout. If you have mostly B's, your resolve is steady and pragmatic, so allowing you to navigate the obstacle with thoughtful planning. So continue leveraging this balanced approach and don't hesitate to push your boundary when needed. If you have mostly C's, you may experience some hesitation in the face of challenges which can affect your resolve. So strengthen your resolve by setting achievable goals and celebrating small victory to build your confidence. And if you have mostly D's, now it appears maintaining resolve, especially in the face of monotony, is a challenge for you. So experiment with a new strategy for motivation and consider seeking a mentor to inspire you and guide you. So again, every quality that a leader of level 5 have is something that you can develop over time with experiences, with age, with everything that you learn along the way. So be kind to yourself and learn every day. So I wish you a beautiful day, a beautiful weekend, and we'll see you next week. Bye, everyone.